I've said this to a couple of guys that preached for the first time or maybe struggled in getting to their sermon prep right, is, you know what? The best sermon and the best sermon prep is your life. It's not the time that you spend in getting your notes ready. Your life is sermon prep. And remember, we all don't necessarily have a sermon or moment in sharing like this, but all of our life is a sermon to the world. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the world. Guess what? All of you are constantly heralds, being heralds, messengers of the Lord. You are constantly, and your life is the prep for that. So I want to encourage you, but may it come out of a place of intimacy with Him. You need to encounter, you need real connection, and you need real relationship. I want to say, I want to implore, I want to ask, I want to beg, I want to plead, I want to pray that, guys, let's not be a people. Or let's be a people that don't move without an encounter. Let's not be a people that move without a connection with God and with each other. Because we can run past each other in church. Hey, broer, hey, sister, ja, geseend, geseend. Morgen, morgen, koffie, koffie, ja, ja, ons gaan nooit koffie nie. Want ons sit hier die prachtige gezichtje voor. Don't know why it's over in Afrikaans. It may be more applicable. But let's fight for real connection, encounter with God, real connection with God and each other, and real relationship. That Mary moment at His feet. Now, obviously, there was a part of Scripture that I was meditating on where all of this came to me, and I want to share that with you because I don't want us to be a people that's empty-handed. I don't want to be empty-handed here, even though it's been, and I've said this before, I'm not highlighting the stuff that we go through, but it has been a tough season. But still, I don't want to be called empty-handed if the hungry comes past me. And if I want that, I need to be sure that I've got bread in my life. Now, the first point there is the burning ones. Now, quickly, let's just do an audit. Let's just take stock. How was 2018? Anybody? Good. Jenny. Praise the Lord for Jenny. Good. Who had a tough 2018? There's a lots of hands. Who had a horrible 2018? A couple of people. Great. Who experienced, not physical death, might have been, but who experienced some death and loss in 2019? I think with that word about the heart, the promises being fulfilled, there was lots of hands, and so there was maybe loss last year as well. Who's still a bit shell-shocked after last year? Anybody else? Anybody shell-shocked? I'm still a bit shell-shocked. But here's the beauty. God comes and He encourages me. He comes and encourages you through Scripture. Because what? He's the God of retribution and life. But we need to have faith. I'm going to have us read through a long piece of Scripture. Because I believe it sets us up. It reminds us, encourages us of the Christ we're following. But it reminds us, if we hypothetically put ourselves in the situation, if you've suffered loss, if you've discouraged, if you're still shell-shocked of the season that you've just come out of, it might not be 2018, it might be even a bit more than that. If you're a bit shell-shocked, I believe this will encourage your spirit if we take it. And there's two things we're going to take out of this morning, and then just going to wrap it up by a couple of thoughts. Luke 24, let's quickly read together. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb bringing the spices they had prepared. Now, who knows where we are? Where are we at? Just after the Kruisiging, the crucifixion, yes. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. That's a weird term, dazzling clothes. It sounds much more 90s than it does there. But anyway, in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? What a question. So they're there looking for Christ, and they rock up in dazzling clothes saying, hey, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? They're obviously downcast and not in a good space. And here these guys with dazzling clothes comes and ask them these rhetorical questions. He is not here,
but he has been resurrected. Remember how we spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day. And they remembered his words. Oh, yeah. Now start living yourself into the situation. You followed Christ. Life is tough. Here he comes. You think he's the Messiah. You think he's going to be the one, and then he gets killed. Now it's 3 days later. You're still trying to come to terms. You're like, what has just happened? Now, I believe in a parallel to that, some of our lives might have looked like that last year. Like, we were on our way, and this is happening. It's so amazing. And all of a sudden, boom, 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 3 days later. What has just happened? Anybody that this speaks to? I can see a couple. Like, yes, yes. Other people's like, this is pi. Other people's like, yeah, it's for me. Hallelujah. Let's see. The Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day. And they remembered his words. Returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary of the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling the apostles these things. But these words seemed like nonsense to them. How strange. 4 days ago, they were still fellowshipping with Jesus. Now they come, they say, hey, guess what? Two guys in dazzling clothes asked us the following rhetorical question. They're like, no, nonsense. Just imagine how quickly your heart can close to the supernatural things and ways of the Lord. Have you ever had somebody tell you about a healing or a resurrection or a blessing or a breakthrough? And you're like, yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. Inside of you, like, whatever. Come on, be honest. We're in church. Yes. So imagine how quickly their hearts closed. Oh, yeah, you're talking nonsense. He's dead. I've got nothing left. Just look at the ashes. Look at this destruction. Look at 2018. Look at the season I've gone through. Look at our family. Whatever your context is, you can fill in the blanks. They're like, this is nonsense. But praise God, he's going to stir our hearts. He's going to fill us with faith this morning. But these words seemed like nonsense to them. And they did not believe the woman. Peter, however, praise God for Peter. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. When he stooped to look in, he saw only linen cloths. So he went home amazed at what had happened. And it's about there, in between this and Vida, that I was sitting, and God just came down and he just knocked me over. And he dropped the words into my heart. For it will be a season of resurrections. And all of a sudden, and again, I'm not saying this is a sermon, I just believe it's something prophetic. And I'm like, Lord, for me, for us, and I just believe he said, for my people. So I believe it's for more than just us. And then I'm like, Lord, should I? And he's like, will you declare this? Will you declare this? And I'm like, yes, yes. I sense it in my spirit. By the way, you still need to test it. I've got a conviction. I've got the faith for it. But in that moment, I just can see myself in the disciples' feet. I can see myself in their shoes, like, what has happened? Where did all of this destruction come from? Where is the help now? Where is the Messiah? He died. Can you believe in that place? And yet the Spirit comes and says, no. Remind yourself, we serve a resurrected King. For who of you guys have ever got stuck in that 3 days with Christ? Speaking hypothetically, work with me. Who's ever in their Christianity got stuck in those 3 days? Yes, he died for me, but man, oh man, I don't know if he ever rose from the dead. Come on. Where's the honest people? Yes. But we should not get stuck there. Who's willing to say 2019 will be a year of resurrections? And guess what? Not only for me, for the abortions in our area, for the spiritual abortions in the Church of God, for the church of the Lord, for our economy, for our politicians, for the promises and prophecies over Southern Africa and Africa. Who's willing to say, this will be a season of resurrections? For the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of us. Are you willing? Are you willing? Whatever it is in your life, are you willing to go stand through before the grave of whatever you had to die for, or whatever was ripped away from you, or whatever is having a stench at the moment, you're like, I don't know how God's going to fix this relationship, how God's going to fix this this calling, how God's going to fix this body, this soul. I don't know, but are you willing to go stand before that grave and say, I serve a resurrected King. I serve a resurrected King, and I believe, I prophesy that this will be a season of resurrections. Body of Christ, this will be a season of resurrections. Resurrections, resurrections, resurrections. And will you go stand before your empty tombs or your tombs and prophesy over them? Prophesy over them. Even if May of March comes, April comes, May comes, August comes, will you keep on prophesying over them that this is a year of resurrections? Don't usually do this, but let's just close our eyes. If you've got something in your life that this is applicable to, just raise your hand. Believe there's faith in the room. Let's act upon that. There's something that needs a resurrection in your life. I lift up the area. Those that need redemption, I lift up. Their graves, I lift up. Those that need to come to salvation in this area, in the areas we live, I lift them up. Lord, we declare over these situations, you know everyone by heart. You see right through us. You know why we're putting up our hands. And for whom, and for what deaths, and for what robberies we put up our hands this morning. But we declare for God, the season will be a season of resurrections. Resurrection. Christ's 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 resurrection. And over this area, Christ's resurrection. We serve a resurrected Christ. And the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of us. We thank you for that. Thank you, Father God, for families to be resurrected. Marriages to be resurrected. Children, the relationship with each other and their parents in a godly way to be resurrected and restored and redeemed. We thank you for that. Amen. And so we move on. We're actually getting to the real nitty-gritty of the sermon just now. Verse 13. Who's ever heard of the Emmaus disciples? The Emmaus Gangers. Have you ever heard of that? Praise God. You've heard of that. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were on their way to the village called Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Together they were discussing everything that had taken place. So they were like, what just happened? Well, 2018. Hectic group. Never heard of her. It was just crazy. And so they were just mulling over. It's like people talking about politics. Who's been at a bride lately? You just sit back and let them talk about politics. It's really kind of gross sometimes. It's not pleasant. And so they're having this moment. They're like, bleh, 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 bleh. You get the picture. And while they were discussing and arguing, Jesus himself came near and began to talk or walk along with them. By the way, imagine you just sputing off about 2018 or sputing off about where South Africa is going and the politics and crisis comes up. You don't know it's him. He's just sitting next to the table. He's like, hey guys, what are you talking about? Oh, politics, yes, South Africa, yeah. Tell me more. Don't you know? Have you not heard? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no, tell me. I see a couple of conviction lights going on. Hallelujah. But they were prevented from recognizing him. Then he asked them, what is the dispute that you're having with each other as you are walking? They're like, what's up with you? And they stopped walking and looked discouraged. So imagine that they're walking, they're courting. He's like, hey guys, what's up? They're like, do you have no idea what's up? I can so see myself in this situation. Then one named Cleophas answered him, are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that happen there in these days? Like, where have you been? Don't you know the tragedy? What things, he asked them. So they said to him, the things concerning Jesus Nazarene, who was a prophet, powerful in action and speech before God and all people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we were hoping that he was the one that was to redeem Israel. In other words, they've lost hope. Like, we thought that was it, but it wasn't it. It sucks. Besides all of this, it's the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women from our group astounded us. They arrived early at the tomb And when they didn't find his body, they came and reported that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was still alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they didn't see him. So in other words, they knew about it, but still they were just going on about how this sucks. He said to them, "How unwise and slow you are to believe." Other translations put it very more bluntly than this, by the way. "Are you to believe in your hearts that the prophets have spoken? Didn't the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And same, he can become say to us, "Hey guys, catch a wake up. What have I said to you? What have I promised you? What does my word say to you regarding the season gone by, regarding 2018, regarding the deaths that you have suffered, the struggles that you've gone through? Where is your senses? Come on. Remind yourself, what have I said? What have I said? Who am I? What is my character?" Who can tell me what verse we are at now? How unwise. Let's go to verse 26. It looks like a good one. "Didn't the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then, beginning from Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted for them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures." So they go, he comes, walks with them, but actually spiritually in the opposite spirit. He's like, come on, don't be unwise. Yeah, boom, 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 boom. He just explains it to them. Praise God. They came near the village where they were going, and he gave the impression that he was going farther. But they urged him, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening, and now the day is almost over." So he went to stay with them. "It was as he reclined at the table," now at their place, "with them, he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. But he disappeared from their sight." So they said to each other, listen up, "Weren't our hearts ablaze within us while he was talking with us on the road and explaining the scriptures to us?" That very hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those gathered together who said, "The Lord has certainly been raised and has appeared to Simon." Then they began to describe what had happened on the road and how he was made known to them in the breaking of bread. Now just imagine that from a moment of absolute destruction and distraught and tragedy, he comes, Christ preaches, he encounters these guys. They don't even realize in them that it's him cognitively. They don't realize with their eyes. But their hearts are what? On fire. Ablaze. Their spirit realizes that he is the life. He is the source of life. Something's up. And then he turns that day around. Who would like God to turn their day around? Who can look at an area, a community? Who can look at a family in our community and think, if God can just turn that around? If he can just encounter them. Open up their eyes for who he is and what they've been called for and what he is to them and turn that around. Luke 24:32 is obviously what we need to hold on to, but in the message it says, back and forth they talked. "Didn't we feel on fire as he conversed with us on the road as he opened up the scriptures for us?" And so I walked into Vida bone dry, realizing more than a nice outline, more than a bit more knowledge, more than reading up a couple of commentaries, what I need is an encounter. I need an encounter. And in that moment, Christ comes with a hunger, saying, "I can't, I've got nothing." He comes and encounters me. He sets my heart ablaze. He walks into a dry patch and he creates life. And that's what I want to encourage us with this morning, is to wait upon him so that he will set your heart ablaze. Who can honestly stand up this morning? This is not a competition. By the way, God doesn't have favorites. He does favor us, but he doesn't have favorites. Who can stand up this morning and say, "My heart is ablaze"? I must say my heart is pretty ablaze this morning. But who can say that I'm on fire this morning? Who wants to say, "Christ, I want to encounter you. I want to encounter you to be a burning one"? Who wants to honestly, not because it sounds cool, say, "Christ, come"? Here's the thing of an encounter. Can somebody explain to me what the definition of an encounter? What is an encounter? An experience, yes. with what? How does it work? Another being, yes, absolutely. But let's say in this context, what is encounter? If we should have a one-liner or a paragraph, this is what our church believes is encounter with God. Many churches have done this, by the way. They've killed it. Revelation of the truth? Absolutely. An exchange? I like that. A meeting? Yes. A connection. Here's my take on it. I don't believe I can define an encounter with God. But what I can say is, I know that I've encountered God. Pietri is a teacher. He loves the word. Chances are pretty well, he's also a worshiper, that in both of those two streams, he might encounter God. Pretty deeply, pretty solidly, that he'll walk out there and nobody can tell him otherwise. I've encountered God in Leviticus. And you're like, are you on drugs? I'm like, no, I encountered God in Leviticus. Because God can change your life in Leviticus or Numbers, or whatever the case may be in the Old Testament. I'm maybe a bit more prophetically inclined. So there's visions. There's lots of feelings. And there's a place where, but I cannot tell you how you should encounter the Lord. What I would say is, we need to stay within the perimeters of the Word of God. And we need to discern and to test. And we need to test what? The fruit of it. So I can tell you, God said to me, boom, 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 in Vida Cafe. And then 2 years later, you're like, but Retief, what the heck are you doing with your life? Because that also, unfortunately, does happen. But we cannot define for one another. But here's the thing. I cannot tell a couple what intimacy should look like for them. I can tell them what ungodly intimacy is, by the way. But I cannot tell them exactly how they should go about being intimate. It's kind of weird. I will not be doing that. And likewise that with God. Sorry, I'm being honest here. But likewise with God, there's a way. There's been moments with God that I had with God that I communed and it was so deep and intimate that I just sat there and I had to sign to the Lord. Sign. Because I had no words to communicate. There's this thing I do. I'll just tell you. You'll think I'm weird, but that's just fine. That's just to prove the point. I'll do this. Just point here. Like it hits the mark. And I'll have that moment with God sometimes. I haven't had that many times, but I'll have a moment where I'll just point, I'll just do this. And it will be the most intimate place because it's just like my soul is just connecting with my God in such a deep, profound way. I cannot put words to it. He just hits it. I was on the road driving back to Malmesbury from Tukai, where I worked daily for a year. And I said to the Lord, Lord, how do one get you? How do I get you? I want to get you. You know how you can get your wife? You just know Rihanna, just if you do that, flowers, you just get her. I mean, he knows all the tricks in the book. That's why he's got a garden. He just wants to get Rihanna. So he knows how to get Rihanna. And I'm like, in this deep revelation place with the Lord, I'm like, Lord, I want to get you. How do I get you? And I just distinctly remember the reply immediately in my spirit. He says, you get me by wanting to get me. You get me by wanting to get me. Having a hunger for me, for my person, not because I can bless you with something, or because I lift you up, or because you'll have an anointing, or you'll have knowledge. No, you get me because you want to get. None of that makes sense. It doesn't have to. But it made a lot of sense in that moment. And that's what I want to leave you with, is that may we be a people that wants to get him. He's a person. It's not just a theology. Here's the thing. You've got Joel, amazing, bright young guy, Nick's son. Joel, even though he's bright, does not have to have the perfect theology, the perfect knowledge and understanding of Nick to having to have connection with Nick. He doesn't even care to understand his dad. He needs connection with his dad. I'm not knocking theology. I'm not knocking knowledge. I'm just saying you need not have perfect knowledge and perfect theology to have a connection with the person. Yes, if you do weird stuff, people around you will say, well, that's kind of odd because you know scripture says the folly. Because otherwise we get cooked. That's not also what I'm proclaiming for. What I am saying is that do we have a hunger, as children have a very basic hunger for connection with our Father? Mila does not understand me at all, but she acknowledges me. She sees me and she laughs. She loves it. Do you know how I make her laugh? By doing this. It's deep. Deep. It's very deep theology. No, that is what he gave us. He gave us relationship to show us picture. Now, I want to challenge you. If nobody's looking, sit in your car. Don't quote scripture at the Lord necessarily unless the Spirit leads you. Go to whatever the case may be. Think out of the box to have a connection. Because religion would love to have us, dead religion would love to have us have these formulas, but not have true connection. How did we get here, Jesus? Good. What we need is encounters with Christ. Encounter the fire and you will burn. Who wants to burn? Who wants to be on fire? Who wants to be the burning ones? Yes. You need encounter with what? With shofar table view? Not that it might include it. You need to meet with Christ. I cannot put handles and do a little booklet of my experience, of my encounter with the Word and with the Spirit, with Christ the person in Vida. I can't copy and paste and say, hey Tish, if you really want to have a good time, that's what people do. They write books. I think everybody's going to do the same. I've got 3 kids. They're not the same. Three different books you need to have connection. And so I can't give Tish the book and say, hey, go to Vida. Remember, flat white, almond milk. Not takeaway cup. No, takeaway cup does not work with the Lord. Sit down. Okay, sit down. Great. And you remember that seed. No, it starts from a hunger, a relational hunger, and an authenticity. Not by saying, this is what I package and what I do. I hope you hear my heart. We can't define it, but we know as we know as we know we've had it. Now, this, in ending off, how can we be the burning ones? There's a couple of thoughts. Firstly, true connection. I think that you've heard very clearly this morning. Don't come to church, get into your car, drive off and realize, God, I heard him speak. Music was quite good. Yeah, Pietri can really play. They actually mingle quite good together. They really, as a couple, they worship brilliantly. And then go off, but there was no real connection with the person of Christ. Have real connection with him. If you want to be on fire, you need to get to the fire. Matthew 3 verse 11, I baptize you with the water of repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I do not want or are not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Christ, will you again baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire? For true connection, you need what? Honesty. Who struggles to be honest with the Lord sometimes? He knows if you're not... Anyway, never mind. We need honesty for true connection. It's the same with relationship. We need what? Grace. For true connection, I need grace. I need grace. You need not get it perfect. You need grace. I can go into the coffee shop and sit down and say, Lord, I need to give a lot, but I have not got a lot to give. Please give me so that I can give. And in that place of honesty, he says, yes, there you go. There you go. Boom. I'm like, I was thinking I'm going to fall off my chair. Have a moment there. And so he just gives by grace. And then humility. Remember what he said up in Luke 24. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he disappeared. In other words, there's a grace where he opens up your eyes if you're humble. But if you're like a Pharisee or a Sadducee and you think you're a know-it-all, I know this and I know church and I know Christianity and I know. Guess what? You're not going to know. If you know, you're not going to be known. You know intimacy, another word for Adam knew Eve, know intimacy. I believe if you think you know, you're not going to know. I think that's a very good point. I agree. I honestly agree. Second thing, prioritize. If I wanted this holiday, I realized with one of my children, there's specifically a connection needed. I needed to prioritize that. Everybody's in church saying, yes, I want to encounter Jesus. Just want to make a couple of bucks first. I want to build my business and my empire. I need to work at my future plans and my 5-year plan. And remember, we need to go overseas on holiday. But after that, man, I'm going to encounter Jesus. No, no, no. It doesn't work that way around. Let go of what is in your hand, encountering first, prioritize Him. I'm not going to read the scripture, Luke 11, you know it. Knock, seek, ask. Knock, seek, and ask. Third thing I said, you need to be if you want to be a burning one, you need to be intentional. You need to be intentional. Maybe it's the graphic, I won't use next. A couple might be sitting there, and they're pregnant. They got pregnant because they were intentional about it. Amen? Do you want to be pregnanted with the fire of Christ? Be intimate and be intentional about it. If you want to be a burning one, if you want to carry the life of the Lord with you, you need to be intentional about it. If you want to be fit, you need to be intentional. If you want to eat well, you need to be intentional. If you want to be rich in this world, you need to be intentional about it. But I'm saying, hey, we want to be people that encounter the Lord, but we need to be intentional about it. Let's not just read the word. Let's say, Lord, come. I want to connect with you. James 4 verse 8 says, come close to God with a contrite heart and He will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your unfaithful hearts, you double-minded people. Now, I'm not referring to you, I'm referring to Scripture. But I found myself in this place. I need to look into my heart and be intentional. I'd love to be, Lord, intimate with you, yet there's other stuff in my heart. I need to sort them out. I said with the intentionality, the example I used earlier, like with children. They don't care. You can come with formulas. You can spend, splash. You can bless. You can do this, that, and the other. What they want is those two eyes and their heart and that time. They want the intentional heart and moment with you. More than they want the stuff. God is like that. Be intentional with your times with Him. Fourth thing, don't settle. I think this is so important. Don't settle. What does this mean? This morning we can come, we can, Petri, please play three songs. Please do kids' church. Please do this. Please do this. Please share a sermon out of John 3:16. Let's go home. We can settle so easily. And the person of Christ, the person of God, the Holy Spirit is not actually part of it. There's so many religious stuff going on a Sunday where God and Christ gets excluded because we've settled. There's so many quiet times maybe and Bible studies being run and done where Christ is excluded because we settle. We're not waiting. Now, how do I know if I've encountered? You'll know if you've encountered. Who of you struggle to discern if you encounter the Lord? Not. In other words, I believe it's in our physique, it's in our gut, it's in our lives that we know when we've encountered Him. And all of us know that I can go through 2 months of quiet times and have them religiously, and my sister might think, wow, my brother spent so much time with the Lord, but I've not had real connection. Matthew 23:12 says, but woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, you lock up the kingdom of heaven from people, for you don't go in, and you don't allow those entering to go in either. So there's hungry people, but if I'm not going in, if I'm not going to Vida saying, please rock me, guess what? If you walk a road with me, I'll exclude the kingdom from you as well. But I want to stir in your hearts that you go, not to Vida. You go lie flat on your face in your bedroom. You go lie in your swimming pool. You go sit at your kitchen table and say, Christ, rock me! Come and touch me with your life. Come and form yourself in me. Come and burn your fire in me. Because I want a life. And I want to live it with you. Baptize me again. I don't want to settle for culture. I don't want to settle for a substandard gospel. I don't want to settle for crumbs. Bread of life, come and breathe the bread of life to me. I might have to put on my chips and put on my caviar and say, I want the bread of life. Two more things. If you want to be burning ones, I believe you need to take risk. Who likes taking risk? You need to take risk. Sometimes you need to look stupid. God doesn't want you to look stupid, but your culture will tell you you look stupid. Now you need to know, as I said yesterday, I just realized yesterday, is that the culture inside of me needs to be stronger than the culture outside of me. If the culture in me is the gospel, If the culture in me is one of faith and one of Christ, I don't care if you think it's risky or not. I'll be humble about it by being obedient and saying, hey, Yaku, I'm accountable. Please hear. Do you sense this? You might say, oh, I actually sense the Lord. This is crazy, but I sense the Lord. And in that being humble, you need to be determined and led by the culture on your inside, not on your outside. But that means risk. I was a corporate lawyer, leaving that, moving to Malmesbury, then losing my life. It's not about me. Losing my life. Felt like that. Losing my job, getting retrenched and living in Malmesbury for 3.5 years without income. Is that risk to the Lord? Not at all. Read Matthew 6. But it's very risky to the world. And so you might have to take risk. Risk means that you'll have to be obedient. You'll have to be obedient. What does the word command me? What does the culture command of me? What does the fear of man command of me? What does the fear of God command of me? We'll stand before that questions every single day. What does the spirit requires? What does the flesh requires? Two last things. If you want to be a burning one, you need to be close to the fire. Now, I was standing in faith for a couple of things, a couple of prophetic things, apostolic things. And so I got a couple of knocks and actually got hurt in the process and probably took my eye off the prize, took my eye off the promise. And then I spent 2.5 hours with Jan Slubber. Tish will know him in the spur year. He and his wife just saying, hey, we're coming over. Let us spend time together. And in that 15 minutes of that 2.5 hours, 2-3 things he said. And just the fact that he's on fire, just the fact that he's planted churches all over the world, just the fact that he's following Christ and he's loving his wife, he's loving his children, he's loving the church, even though he's got had many knocks. In those 15 minutes, he just fanned the flame in my heart again. I said to him, sometimes you take a leap for the Lord, if you want to take a leap and you're looking at the future, you're looking at the future, you get tired and you go sit down. He's like, I hear you. But hey, what? You know what? I just want to challenge you. Now and again, go stand at the door again and just have a look. Just put your face in the wind again. And just those words, very simple picture. Boof! Just fanned the flame in my heart again. That was dying down. You know what the applicable thing in your life is. Go stand alongside a burning one. Go stand alongside a dreamer again. Go stand alongside a faithful or a righteous man or woman. Go stand close to them. Don't do anything. Don't say anything. Just let them burn. Let them burn. Let them burn next to you. What is your calling? What is your heart? If you love theology, just go stand next to somebody that really knows their stuff, that burns Christ. If you're an evangelist, just go stand close to them. Let them burn. If you're prophetic, just go stand. If you know the drill, just go stand close to them. Burn. Burn. Just burn next to me. Just burn next to me. My accountability partner, he runs Faith Ministries. You've met him, Hein. And so when I get knocks, obviously Faith Ministries is lots of faith. So I just go stand next to him. I just don't have to say much, but just being there. I go listen to certain sermons and certain speakers. Just go listen again. Go listen to a Todd White, Bill Johnson. Just go spend time, even though you don't see them. Just go stand close to those fires. Stand close to the burning ones. And last thing is, I believe fire falls on sacrifice. You want to be a burning one? You need to be willing to sacrifice. So, Lord, I want to burn, I want to burn. But I only want to burn on Sundays and certain Wednesdays and maybe on a Monday night. But the rest of the time, man, that time's yours. I want to really burn in that time. Now, Mary chose the best part. She said, let me burn. Here's my life, let me burn. Will you stand with me, please? Father God, thank you that we've not been called to settle. We've not been called for a second rate or substandard or gospel light. We're not called for that. We're not called to lay down our arm and our leg and keep the rest up. We're not called to lay down Sundays and Wednesday evenings. We're called down to lay down lives. We're called down to be sacrifices upon the fire of Christ, to burn, but to, as we lose our lives, to find it. Lord, at the beginning of this year, I want to lose my life again. For in it, with Christ, I find it. In a place where I can be and think, wow, Lord, ministry is tough. The pressure is crazy. I can go sit down with a coffee and you can come and whack me that everything makes sense in a moment. Taste and see that the Lord is good. But we need to taste. May we be encountering tasting people. Not running after feelings. But having authentic encounters with the Word. Having authentic encounters with the Spirit. Having authentic encounters with the person that is Jesus Christ. In the form of His Spirit today. Very simply, we're going to come. If you, or on behalf of your marriage, or on behalf of your family, just want to say, Lord, we want to be burning ones that encounter You and live from that place. Simply raise your hand that we can pray for that. Thank You, Lord, that John the Baptist came to baptize, baptism of repentance and water, but Christ came to give us a baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. And so, Lord, You see these hands, and I lift up the hand of this church and say, we want to be encounter people. We don't want to give other stuff to people. We don't want to carry flashlights. We don't want to carry flashlights and cell phone lights. We want to carry fire. We can't make fire, for it is not in us, but we can ask Christ, come and baptize us again with Your Spirit and fire. Come and set a blaze, shofar table view. Not because it's more special than any other place, just because it's hungry. It wants to get you. Christ Jesus, shofar table view, wants to get you. We want to be burning ones. So come, take these hands. Come, take these hands, set them ablaze. Come and take these marriages and set them ablaze. Come and take these families and these children represented here, set them ablaze. Come and take this church and set it ablaze. Not so that we can boast, but so that we can burn. So that we can look back on seasons to come and say, remember the resurrections of 2019. Remember those times. Do you recall how our hearts were burning as He communed with us in Scripture, as He communed with us in fellowship, as He communed with us in worship, as He communed with us in the car? Do you remember that time where our hearts were burning? Have your way, Lord. Wherever we've settled, for anything less, we repent. Wherever we settled for religion that is not of You, we repent. Forgive us for that. Have Your way. Have Your way. Have Your way. May we be Your burning ones. Not for ourselves, but for the world out there as well. In Jesus' name. Amen.